Princess of Robin Hood, Maid Marian of Sherwood Forest. Why, she is called Maid Marian, honest friend, because she lives a spotless maiden life. And shall till Robin's outlaw life have end, that he may lawfully take her to wife. Which, if King Richard come, will not be long. Anthony Munday, The Downfall of Robert, Earl of Huntingdon. Gamwell Hall, seat of Robin Hood's uncle, Sir William Gamwell, was not far from Nottingham, and thither Sir Guy of Gisborne rode one day to attend only by his squire. Sir William welcomed Sir Guy, and after feasting him well, suggested that he would come with him next day to the great Gamwell festival held not far away in the forest. Hoping to find out where Robin Hood was, Sir Guy agreed readily to this. But of course he said no word of his real reasons either to Sir William or to young Will Gamwell, who rode with him. It was a merry sense in the green glade of the forest, young men and girls dancing around the maple barrels of ale broached for Sir William's tenants, and many a game or contest for young and old alike. Sir Guy sat quietly under a tree with old Sir William, watching it all. And only once did he lean forward suddenly, with an angry glint in his eyes, that was when young Will Gamwell led out one of the maidens to dance, whom he recognized suddenly as Lady Marian Fitzwalter, disguised as a peasant girl. "What maiden is she who dances with your son?" asked Sir Guy. "That?" asked Sir William vaguely. "Oh, she is known as the Shepherdess Colorindia. She is often at these feasts, but really I can tell you little of her."
"You mean you won't tell me?" thought Sir Guy as his most hastily changed the conversation. "I'm certainly on the right trail now." Later in the day came the band of foresters in Lincoln Green, and there was a great contest of archery, which Carlindia took part as well, and seemed as a good archer as any of them. Sir Guy mounted his horse and rode cautiously down the butts to watch the sports. As he drew near, Carlindia discharged her arrow, and the cheer went up from all who were watching, since she had shot it into the very center of the gold, which was in the middle ring of the target. I must needs shoot well indeed to equal that, Friar Carlindia, said the chief of the foresters, stepping forward and setting an arrow to his string. The arrow sped, and another cheer arose, for everyone could see that it too had struck within the ring of gold, so close to that of Corinda that the points were in contact and the feathers were intermingled. "I claim your hand, fair queen of the May," said the forester, bowing low before Corlindia, and With a blush and a smile, she held out her hand to him, and he led her away into the dance. But Sir Guy had recognized the forester, and now he turned to Will Gummel, who stood beside him. "What is that archer's name?" he asked. "Robin, I believe," said the young Gamwell curiously. "I think they call him Robin. Is that all you know of him? What more is there to know?" "Well, let me tell you," said Sir Guy sternly, "that he is none other than the outlaw Robert Bitzoth, called our Huntingman. And there is a large reward offered to any man who can bring him prisoner before the Sheriff of Nottingham." "Is he really?" said Will Gumwell, as if not in the least interested. "He would be a prize well worth taking."
"I expect so. Shall we not take him then?"
"You may, if you please. But are your tenants and followers not loyal?"
"Loyal they are indeed."
"Then," exclaimed Sir Guy, growing more and more angry, "if I were to call upon them in the king's name, would they not aid and assist?"
"Surely they would," answered Gamwell, "on one side or the other. But I have Prince John's warrant for arrest of Fitzooth." "Sir Guy,
what would you then advise me to do?"
"Why," answered Gamwell calmly,
"I would advise you to turn round and ride your hardest for Nottingham, unless you want a volley of arrows, a shower of stones, and a hailstorm of cudgel blows to help you on your way." On hearing this, Sir Guy's squire clapped spurs from the horse and went away at full gallop, which gave Sir Guy an excuse for galloping away after him, shouting, "Stop, you rascal!" until they were out of sight of the Gamwell gathering. They did not draw rein then, however, but made all speed to Nottingham, where Sir Guy rose the sheriff with the news that Robin Hood was within a few miles with scarcely a dozen men. Within half an hour, he was off again, accompanied by the sheriff and armed band, hurrying along the road towards Gamwell. The sun was sinking as they came to a bridge across the river. In the further side saw a small party of foresters and men-at-arms headed by the shepherdess Corlandia, who still carried her bow, and by whose side now walked the gigantic form of Brother Michael Tuck, lately of Fountains Abbey. "Now, who be these that come riding so fast this way?" bellowed the friar. "False traitors all, I'll be bound. Yes, there I perceive Sir Guy of Gisborne, to whom he scared dues of hospitality are unknown, and with him the sheriff of Nottingham, loyal servant of whoever pays him the fastest fees." "Out of the way, Regan, Sir Friar," shouted Sir Guy angrily. "You're for the friar and his party have reached the bridge first. And you, Lady Marian, hasten away to Arlingford, for you are in truly doubtful of traitor's company."
"You mistake, false knight, you mistake," declared the friar calmly. "The lady here is the fair Corlandia, well known as throughout the forest of Sherwood as the Queen of Shepherdness. As for the doubtful and traitor's company, I see none of it on this side of the bridge. Out of the way, echoed the sheriff angrily. We seek Robert Fitzoth, known as Robin Hood, who but an hour since was concerting with you, not far from this spot. By the route, you'll not pass this way, bellowed the friar, until you have made full apology to the fair Corinna and myself for all terms, taunts, and other words of slander uttered in the hearing of these good fellows. Force them aside, cried Sir Guy impatiently. Robin Hood is escaping us even now. And catch that forward girl for me. Lord Fitzwalter will reward me well when I bring her back to him. Sir Guy raised his hand diversely as he spoke, and swift as that Corindia raised her bow, the string hummed, and Sir Guy's hand was transfixed by the arrow. Treachery, cut them down, shouted the sheriff. The bowstring hummed again, and the sheriff's horse reared up as an arrow whizzed into the ground between its forefeet, and the sheriff fell backwards out of the saddle and sat heavily down in the large pool of mud. Thereupon, arrows sped amongst the sheriff's men, who rushed up the steep bridge, only to be beaten back by the mighty staff in the hands of the great friar. For roaring lustily, he stood there alone, whirling his staff from the side to side among the sheriff's men, knocking down one, breaking the ribs of another, dislocating the shoulder of the third, flattening the nose of the fourth, crackling the skull of a fifth, and pinching a sixth into the river, until a few who were lucky enough to escape with whole bones clapped their spurs on their horses and fled for their lives, the outraged sheriff leading the way, and the wounded Sir Guy of Gisborne bringing up the rear amidst the laughter of the fair Corlandia and her fellows, and jeers and taunts of the friar. Next morning, Lord Fitzwalter was disturbed over his breakfast by a loud blast of a trumpet and the sounds of a general alarm. Hastening to the castle gate, he saw a large body of armed men drawn up on a further side of the moat, with a hurled blowing of a trumpet, and an officer bidding them lower the drawbridge in the king's name. What for, in the devil's name, roared Lord Fitzwalter angrily. Be it known to all just men, proclaimed the herald, that the sheriff of Nottingham lies in bed grievously bruised. Many of his men like to die of divers injuries, and the good knight Sir Guy of Gisborne is sorely wounded by an arrow, and we charge Sir William Gamwell, the Lady Marian Fitzwalter, and one Friar Michael lately from Fountains Abbey as agents and accomplices in the said riot, and traitors for that they have aided and consorted with the outlaw Robin Hood, otherwise Robert Fitzoth, sometime of Locksley Hall, agents and accomplices, spluttered Lord Fitzwalter. What do you mean by coming here with this nonsensical story of my daughter, the Lady Marian, bursting the sheriff, injuring his men, and shooting arrows into Sir Guy of Gisborne? Off you go, or I bid my men shoot at you with their crossbows. You hear more of this, shouted the officer in command of the troop.
Not so lightly may you flock well of our liege Lord Prince John. Then let him come in person, shall Lord Fitzwalter, or send someone whom I can trust. How know I that you are not some of these very shadowed outlaws in disguise trying to gain entrance of my castle under cover of the king's name and a silly story about my girl bursting in the sheriffs and shooting men at arms. The troop of men, seeing that an archer with a crossbow stood ready at every loophole, that the drawbridge was up and the moat both wide and deep, retreated with many threats in the direction of Nottingham. Lord Fitzwalter at once summoned his daughter, and on demanding the truth, Marian confessed that she was known as the forest of the shepherdless Corlandia, and stood and told the story of Sir Guy's defeat at Gamwellby Bridge. "You go no more forth from the castle," declared Lord Fitzwalter. "Then I get out if I can," answered Marian firmly, and under no objection to return. "Away with you, the topmost turret chamber," ordered her father. "No one will get you out of there." "Prince John will do so," said Marian with a shudder. "I hear that he is now at Nottingham, who those were his men before the castle even now. He saw me on the eve of my wedding on Robin at Locksley, and it is said that he has sworn to take me, and perhaps not hand me over to Sir Guy as readily as he promised. I defy a wicked prince as surely as a wicked knight," shouted Lord Fitzwalter. "You cannot withstand Prince John," said Marian. "Think of the power he can command. He'll sack the castle, hang you from the nearest tree, and take me wherever, whether you will or no. But if you shut me up, I escape from the castle, no blame can be attached to you, and for we welcome him here with every sign of regret of my absence and fury at my flight." "Hum, ha!" Lord Fitzwalter opened his mouth to swear, but shut it again as he realized the truth of what Marian said. "Then if you escape," he asked, do you go to the Sherwood Forest as half-wife to this outlaw Robin Hood?" "I go to Robin Hood," answered Marian quietly, "but until King Richard returns from Palestine, pardons him and restores him to his rightful possession, and I dwell in Sherwood Forest as Maid Marian, tonight but not in tide to Robin. And this he has sworn by God and Our Lady, and here and now I reaffirm the oath." Lord Fitzwalter thought for a few minutes. "Robin or Robert, he is a true honorable man," he said at last. "And you are my daughter, and would bring no dishonor upon our line. God bless you, Marian. Go to your room now, and do not let anyone see you leaving Arlingford Castle, or it will be worse for us all." Then, a few hours later, Prince John rode up at the head of 100 men. Lord Fitzwalter met him at the gates with the most profuse expressions of loyalty, begged pardon and his behavior to Harold in the morning, and placed the whole castle at the disposal. "I am honored, deeply honored, Your Royal Highness," he said, still on his knees. There is no guest more welcome than yourself and your trusty followers. Had you but sent the sure proof with your herald this morning, and I had admitted him at once, but with this his cursed outlaw Robin Hood so nearby, one must be careful. Why, he came in disguise into Nottingham itself and rescued one of his ruffians from the very foot of the gallows. Prince John was graciously pleased to accept Lord Fitzwalter's apologies and his hospitality at the same time. But when he asked to be presented to Lady Marian, it was found that she was no longer in her room. Then Lord Fitzwalter raged round the castle, cursing and clarisoning of his followers and threatening dreadful things to the guards who had let her pass. But nothing could be learned of her whereabouts, though one guard volunteered the information that the young archer had been seen standing in the gatehouse an hour or so before Prince John's arrival, and that the youth was missing also. Prince John graciously lent half of his followers to Lord Fitzwalter, and he scoured the neighborhood for several days. But Lady Marian Fitzwalter had vanished. Hearing that Prince John was at Nottingham with a whole troop of his followers, Robin Hood walked near the edge of Sherwood Forest, disguised as a forest ranger. He hoped to meet some traveler coming from Nottingham, fall into a conversation with him, and learn of Prince John's movements or intentions. Presently, he strolled along the road. He met a young man dressed in forest attire who held a bow in his hand and carried a good quiver of arrows on his back and wore a stout board shirt at his side. "How now, good fellow," cried Robin in a harsh voice. "Whither away so fast? What news is there today of the good city Nottingham?" "I go about my own business," replied the young man, "and the news that is that Prince John has come to Nottingham and put down the outlaws in the forest." "About time, too," said Robin, remembering that he was posing as a ranger or keeper of the royal deer. "And that what do you, my fine lad, for what long bow and those goodly arrows?" "I mind my own business," answered the youth, "which I would that other warders in Sherwood did likewise." "My business is such as you," said Robin sternly. "Tell me your name and business, or my sword must enforce it." "Two can play at that game," cried the youth, and flinging down his bow and quiver, he drew his sword and stood on the defense. Robin did likewise, and a minute later, the blades clashed together. Very soon, Robin found that his antagonist was at least his match in all skill and prowess and swordsmanship, though weaker in the wrist than he, and not so heavy in the sheer weight of the blows. They fought for some time without either gaining
much vantage, though the blood was running down Robin's face and his entomologist, who was wounded in the arm. "Hold your hand, good fellow. Let us fight no more," said Robin at last, stepping back and leaning on his sword, quite forgetful of his pretended role as the Forest Ranger. "You fight too well to be wasted like this. Come, throw in your lot with Robin Hood and be one of his merry men." "Are you Robin Hood?" gasped the youth. "Robin Hood I am, and no other," was the reply. "Oh, Robin, Robin, do you not know me?" cried his late entomologist with a sudden change of voice. "Marian!" gasped Robin. "And I wounded you, and I am you not." In another moment, his arms were around her. "Welcome to Sherwood," he said at length. When she had poured out all her tale to him, "Come away with me now to our secret glen, and let Scarlet and Much, Little John, and the rest welcome their queen, as I do, and swear, as I do, to be true and faithful servants, now and henceforward, to you, Maid Marian of Sherwood Forest." There was feasting and rejoicing that night in their secret glade, where Robin and his merry men did honor their lovely queen. There was no lack of good roasted venison, and great flagons of wine were sent on the board, bowls of brown ale, and many other delicacies. When the feast ended, Robin rose with great flagon in his hand. "My friends," he cried, "let us drink first, now as ever, to King Richard. King Richard as his speedy return from the crusade." Then, when the pledge was drunk, Robin rose again. "And now," he cried, "drink to our maiden queen, to the Lady Marian. Let us pledge ourselves once more to true service of God and His Holy Mother, as true as Christian men should. But let us also, even as true knights to their lady, pledge ourselves that all our actions shall be so pure and so far from all evil that we do nothing we should think shame of where it's done in the presence of our queen, our Maid Marian. "Maid Marian of Sherwood Forest," cried every man there, springing to their feet. "To our king and queen of the forest, to Robin Hood and Maid Marian." So that was chapter 7. Bye, guys. See you later. See you later. See you later. See ya. See ya later. Bye, guys.